one day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night, and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they had such a great catch of fish that the nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, his partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." Then they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Anyone see any of that? Feel any of that? Hear any of that? Anyone in the story? Can I just see your hands? Okay, a number. Let's go there again if we might. But I'm going to ask for something first, because I'm confident that Jesus wants to meet with us. Every single one of us, in some fashion. So what I would encourage is that when we go there again, you not, like me, as I often do at least, let's not censor the Holy Spirit. Anyone here ever censor the Holy Spirit? You can't do that. You can't say that. What was that? Some of the most powerful things I have experienced in God have been things where people have gone, "Whoa, what was that? That wasn't God. That was just too something over there to have been God," simple as it may have been. So my encouragement to you, I'm going to just ask the Lord here, let's not censor the Holy Spirit and prevent him from doing in us what he wants to do. So I'm going to ask him to just show us who, where, what we are, each of us individually, in this story. And where I've done this in the past, and I've done some of it, a whole range of things can happen. You certainly don't have to be Peter. You could be Jesus. But you might not be a person. You might be something else. Don't censor the Holy Spirit, because Jesus wants to talk to each of us. So, Father, I ask, because when your son did things on this earth, they were perfect expressions of your heart, perfect expressions of your nature, perfect expressions of your love, and perfect expressions of your purpose. And this particular one is not one that anyone else could have orchestrated, but you, through your Son Jesus. Your word's very clear. He only did what he heard and saw you doing. And I thank you that we get to be sons, daughters of yours and of your Son, Jesus. So now, Lord, I ask that by your Spirit, your living Spirit, you would show every single one of us who, what, where we are here, so that we can have a living encounter with you. One day, when Jesus was standing at the Sea of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they got such a great catch of fish that the nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came, and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch fish." Then they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. So let me start with a couple general questions. How many see themselves, feel themselves, hear themselves, whatever, as a person in this story? Can I just see hands? Great, thank you. Anyone see themselves as something else? Ooh, lots. Let's find out what. Dallas? I am, yeah, if you don't mind. I'm on the spot. Okay. Okay. Feeling. Thank you very much for sharing. Is everyone else okay to be put on the spot? You don't have to, right? If you just say, you can do that too. Mary? Most of you hear that? You catch? Yeah? Good? Oh, she was Miriam in the crowd, a Jewish woman in the crowd. She was listening to the teaching, which was amazing. And then she saw and heard the interchange between Jesus and Simon. And then she bought a couple of fish. Yeah, Karen? You were the net. What did that feel like? What was going on? Pretty intense. Did you feel the breaking? Yeah, the nets in this one started to break. Doesn't say they fell apart. It says they started to break. Sonia, you were also the net. And what was going on for you? Okay, so Sonia was the net. She was aware of the washing, the feeling of being washed. And then as the net was breaking, there was significance in that help was needed. Yeah, one or two others. Thank you. So she was the boat, and then she was also Peter, so she was more than one. How many other boats do we have in the room? Any other boats? You want to say anything about being a boat? Stop fishing for fish, even though you've got a boat. Yes. Fabio, were you a boat too? Everyone hear that? Yeah. Thank you. We got any Peters in the room? Lorraine, anyone else? Yeah. Jim, go ahead and then we'll come back to Lorraine. You liked to fish. You liked to fish, okay? Jim felt a call in it. Formerly being a fisherman of freshwater in Ontario, he can relate to that piece, but now also being a fisher of people. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Lorraine.
I relate. I was Peter, and I was aware of my own authority as a professional fisherman, and I had just come in from a failed endeavor as a professional fisherman. I knew how to fish. I knew how to get fish out of the sea. It was my livelihood, and I could feel that disappointment, and yet I could feel the humility come into me when Jesus said, push out and throw them back in. So a perplexity, there's no fish today, and a humility that said, I'll do what you tell me to do, because I think you know a lot more than me. And then the success.
Thank you. Yeah. Wow, they left everything. Yeah. There's humility in that too. There. Misty. And so just before you go ahead, when you start to do this, of course you get curious. Well, that's interesting, or at least I do. I think curiosity is one of the key roots to Jesus. It's a pathway. You start to ask questions. They might not come out immediately in the form of questions, in a formal sense. But you're inquiring. You know scripture, inquire of the Lord. There's something going on inside. You're like, what that's about? Or how that works? So when you get something like Misty got, were you one of the fish or the whole catch? Misty was the whole catch that was left behind on the beach when they walked away. So, what's your sense as you're, because you were inquiring, I'm sure, of the Lord, asking. Isn't that interesting? Misty said something else. So, service might not look the way you expect it to look, but she also said she needs to spend some time inquiring of the Lord this week. And every one of these things, my encouragement to you, whether it gets shared here or not, that's an opportunity for a journey with Jesus. Relationship, dialogue. So you ask, you listen. You give your own feedback and go, well, I don't know about that. And that doesn't make sense to me. You're going to have to show me how that could make any sense at all. And so on. So go into a dialogue. Where did I see? Amy, there's, yeah, first here, and then I'll come back. Amy? Yeah. You were the why. So you're the question. You're the why in this situation. What's God doing through His Son? And that teaching, there's no record of the teaching at all. One day starts with Jesus teaching. Silence in the text, which is really interesting. Amy. Fish being caught in the net, feeling very confused, but also like I had a purpose. Again, it's an opening to a journey. Lord, what are you saying to me? In this particular thing, yeah. Right. Right, so tiredness, listening to Jesus, responding to it, and then something happening which is bigger than I can make happen. So we could go on with this. David, yes. Yeah, thank you. That's also very revealing. Because the Lord knows us as people. We don't interact with Him as who we should be. Well, I should correct that. We try to lots. I think I do. This is how I should be. Now let's have a conversation. But that's not where He comes from. He comes from where we really are. And in doing this, the Lord speaks to the heart. Because He's the God of heart. He speaks to what's going on in there. And it might not be All glory, hallelujah. If, as David just shared, there's levels of frustration, particularly towards him, for what hasn't happened that we've been promised, that's not a secret to him. We could try to make it one, but the effort to do so is futile. It just pushes back the possibility of him speaking to that place. So back to the tired Peter, the frustrated Peter. He speaks to our hearts. And I find in doing this, he catches me where I am rather than where I want to be. Is there any other object or anything like that that someone felt they were, because we had net, boat? Yes. Okay. Thanks, Maureen. Again, encouragement to you, as to all of us, myself included, at the places where this reveals the heart. That's the dialogue moment with Jesus. And not moment as just this and not tomorrow, but ongoing dialogue. Lord, I need you to speak to me here. This one would hold me back from my destiny, from the thing you created me for. And I don't want to stop here. So you're going to have to help me. Right? Boat. I get to be the boat that Jesus rode in. R-O-D-E. Thank you. Okay, then I have a final question. Those, if there are those, is there anyone who didn't get any place, anything in the story? I just want to see your hands. Came in late, okay. Okay, came in late. If in doing something like this nothing happens, then I have a simple question. Where would you like to be? Where would you like to be in this one? Where would you like to be in this one? Would you like to be able to step into the boat? That's okay, go ahead, do it. Wherever you want to be in this, I'm pretty confident is where Jesus wants you to be. So just go there. And see what he says. Now, this is stage one, and we're going to stop in a moment, but stage two is to go into that dialogue. So, Lord, what do you want to say to me here? You showed me, because you're good, and you love relationship just like you loved it with Peter. And you had that dialogue, so what do you want to say to me now? Whether I'm the boat, the net, a fish. Anyone else another disciple in this one? Are there any other disciples? No, interesting. You were Bruce. Which one? Were you James or John, or just unidentified? Okay. Okay. So there's a place to go again with Jesus. He's another disciple. We use the phrase walking with Jesus, right? For the disciples, for Peter in particular, once he said goodbye to his boat, now they got to come back to boats quite a bit, right? In the story. Not fishing so much, but as a way of getting around. But they spent a lot of time walking. I don't know if you've ever looked at the journeys and the distances. But these fishermen who were used to letting the water do it for them, they learned to use their feet. And we don't have detailed records of what went on most of those long walks. They were long walks. 10K, 15K, 20K, 25K, 30K. I'm not saying they did it all in one day. I don't know. We don't know. Long walks. But those are the places where this interaction is going on. And this wonderful starting point between Jesus and Simon, and then a whole bunch of others, how many we don't know, because it talks about all his companions, and then James and John specifically as partners in the operation. But they pulled their boats up on shore, however many were in the boats, and they left everything, and they followed him. So I just have a couple of observations, and then we'll have communion together. Lorraine touched on one of them, and that is, it's quite amusing in this at one level, that the man who commanded the great catch of fish was not a fisherman. He was a carpenter. The carpenter taught the fishermen, plural, how to fish. Second thing that I'd observe is that there's elements of this when you step outside it. We were inside it. When you step outside it, it would make a pretty good comedy sketch. Seen from the shore. Imagine someone out on the deck of their cottage. The guy, he calls to his wife, "Hey, come and see this. There's these guys out here. I've seen them before. Couple of boats, they're fishermen, we've seen them. They seem to do okay some days, other days not so great. Today, you should see the fish. They're squirting out of the nets. The nets are coming apart." And then the other boat gets in the action. But it's not working. Both boats are sinking. The rescue operation turns into near disaster. And there's some other guy in the boat. Some guy I've never seen before. And so on and so forth. So it's a picture of what we would call ridiculous, turned into an opportunity because it grabs the heart. Simon Peter's heart above all. The final thing. Ultimately, the story doesn't have anything to do with fish at all. They go fishing. That's where it begins. But it's not where it ends. The fish are irrelevant. And when Misty shared that she felt like she was the catch left on the beach, one of the trivia questions that can lead in really interesting directions. Trivia questions in God can be openings into a vein of gold. Just what Lorraine shared about her sister. That was very fascinating to hear her sister basically tell this story. I didn't know Lorraine was going to share that, and she didn't know what I was going to share. But trivia questions. What did happen to the fish? And who got the boats? They probably didn't want the nets. The nets had a rough day. But who got the boats? Again, seen from the outside, Peter's response with all this, he could have said, "Go away from me, Lord. You're sinking my boat. You're killing my operation. Even in the moment when you're making it the most successful it's ever been, you are torpedoing my purpose." And of course he was. That's exactly what Jesus was doing. He was blowing holes in Peter's purpose to give him a new one. Final word. You don't have to be Peter. You don't have to be a disciple. If that's where God is speaking to you right now, be there. Of course, we're all disciples of Jesus. There's invitation in every single thing that God has showed you today. There's invitation to come back to Maureen's. The call to go out. And the challenge that hits a meeting and says, the risk is high. So I encourage you to meet with Jesus where he's meeting with you, not where you think you should be. Because if you meet with him where you are, he will lead you to where he wants you. That's his job. They left everything they followed. A disciple follows, and a disciple learns. A disciple learns, and a disciple follows. Just keeps on going. And I've come to the conclusion, the older I get, that process doesn't stop till you draw your last breath. I don't know, when I was younger, it seemed like, well, we'll get this figured out by a certain age, and then we can just get on with life. I don't see it anymore. I don't think it works like that. He's given us every day, every moment, every breath. Not that we have to be all tight about what we're doing, but because he's given it to us. It's a gift. And so the gift is the journey. We get to follow. We get to learn. If we mess up, we get to learn and then learn again. And on and on and on. So, Father, I'm just grateful that your relationship with us is one of total acceptance, total understanding of who we are, where we are right now, and in the center of your heart is a picture of where you want us to be, and your commitment to lead us there is much deeper and stronger than our own. However passionate we feel we are, if it were not for your passion, we wouldn't get very far. And so I'm grateful, and I thank you that as we come to share and remember the sacrifice of Jesus, that at the center of that sacrifice again is your heart to take us from where we were to a place we could not get, to bring us back out of brokenness in relationship with you to wholeness in relationship with you. And we say thank you. We thank you that you're alive and with us.